Yeah, I can see you. Dude, you're cracking me up today.
That was the problem of why we've not been able to record or save our to our stories was because I had an outdated Instagram.
Did you run to the store right quick and buy an iPhone 6? Got it up. Yep, got upgraded.
I'm still learning about all this updating stuff. It's just too deep. I'm not as technological savvy as you are.
Well, hey, yeah.
Well, let me just look at everybody. How's everybody doing out there?
I know. We got so many sweet people on here, man.
Awesome.
Julian Gamboa. What's up?
Hey, Julian, go to Chase's and take that picture for me. We're actually working. We got a book. I got a book coming out as soon as Julian can go take this picture for Gift of Tears. I think we're going to I think we got an idea about what we want to do.
Hey, Roscoe's, I see you. Hey, Campbell's, come on. So we got our missionaries from overseas jumping on this live. Oh, I love you guys. Guys in the Middle East, guys in Africa. Oh, Turkey, God bless you. We love you. Come on. Anyway, I was saying today is the last, we posted the last session, the last episode of season two of Gripped. And man, I loved this. I loved this season, Corey.
I did too.
When we said, hey, let's do the knowledge of God, I just knew that we would just get into a vein, and it felt like every single episode, it just got deeper and deeper and deeper. And even thinking about those moments of recording, I just felt like, man, we got into a vein of the presence of God, and the spirit of revelation was on us in such a rich way. And I've gotten so many testimonies. I know you have too, of people just getting touched. So yeah, that's the main question I'm getting right now is, when's the next season coming out? So we have, what are we scheduled for in May? End of May will be recording season 3. And so I think we can probably say first week of June, season 3 will go live, something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about season 3. Because we literally got, yeah, there it is. Oh, by the way, follow the Gripped podcast. There it is. There's Alicia. She's my assistant. She's on the Gripped podcast. But go ahead and follow that account. And then we're going to be having content coming out from Gripped. Some of the highlights of the season, some of the different, you know, quotes, times Corey got lit up, times I got lit up. But go ahead and follow the Grip podcast for those of you guys that are interested in that. But you know, this season coming up, we have we got something from the Lord about it that I'm excited about. So our dear friend Brian Guerin, I don't think Corey calls him Brian at all. I think he just calls him
Rod of Glory.
Our friend Brian Guerin, he had a dream. Probably about like a month and a half ago, I guess. And in the dream, he was dreaming about our third season. And he knew that in the dream that we were to do it on intimacy with the Lord. And so the fact that we would literally get it in a dream, what to do the third season on, yes, is like stunning. You know, that's huge. So the whole third season will be on intimacy with Jesus, intimacy with the Father, the depths of coming into that place of adoration, confidence in that place, Song of Solomon, that's right.
Yes.
The Father heart of God, all of these things. That really, for me, that was the message that hooked me in, to begin with. So I'm super excited about that. Say something on that, Corey.
No, I just... Well, first off, I'm so grateful. That word just so encouraged me. And I think it's what we're connecting with. We just did this Abide course, but John 15, I feel like it's an hour to get connected to him. and get a flowing heart, intimacy, get tender in love with the Father and with the Son and the Spirit. And I'm really excited about doing this with you.
And I know.
I just feel like we need to get tender again, and we need to get reacclimated. And it kind of flows from the knowledge of God, but it's intimacy. It's the life, the flowing heart out of it. Specific truths of God that bring you into deeper intimacy.
I think finding that Jesus is the reward. Like, we can't hammer that point enough right now. God's dismantling all the false pursuits in the kingdom. He's tearing those things down. He's tearing down personas and platforms. And the thing that I'm seeing, it's like he's taking all the false polish off, and he's getting us down to raw and real. And here's the bottom line. There's only one star in the kingdom of God, and that's Jesus. And he will be the magnificent obsession of his church at the end of the age, and the days ahead, and at the end of the age. And so we're just going to lean into that, man. You know, let's just talk for a minute, though, about, like, recent days, man. Something special has been happening. And I'm so excited about your book that's coming out. So Corey's got a book coming out, Gift of Tears. I want to encourage everybody to get the book. Like, seriously, just get it right now. Are they able to pre-order, or is it, how's it going to drop?
Yeah, I'm still trying to learn how to update Instagram. No, I mean, we're getting our cover for it. I need to get that set up, but y'all just be on the lookout for it. We're wanting to get it out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Be on the lookout for that. I just want to, so, you know, even something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we'll get. Anyway, keep going.
Well, I was just going to say that I think for me, something sparked. I'm in a fast right now. Many are in a long fast right now. And then there's another season of long fasting getting ready to start again in April 14th. Mike calls one on March 1st. Lou called one on April 14th. So effectively, you get to do an 80-day fast with 5 days of eating in between if you do them both. But grace, if you're thinking of that. Anyhow, it started for me. I think just reading your book started sparking something in me. And then the Lord gave a dear friend of ours a dream for me. And then I had one of our prophetic leaders here interpret the dream. And man, when I got the interpretation, it really marked me deeply. And something has started to shake in me in this area of tears and intercession. And it hadn't stopped. I mean, our classes that we've been doing in the evenings together, literally crying throughout.
Yes.
And I just feel like God is doing something dramatic right now. It's funny because I shared a lot of these things in our house here in Atlanta, but I was just talking to our CFO, and he goes, man, every time I'm reading the Bible right now, I'm opening the Word and I just start weeping.
Wow.
And, there's something happening, I think, with the church. There's a tenderizing happening. There's a mourning and a longing and aching and hunger. There's a fasting, weeping, and mourning over the sin of the land. God's doing something right now that's unusual.
I totally agree. I think, and even, you know, just the tenderizing, like today, I just came out of a prayer meeting here at Upper Room, and we were singing about the fact that Jesus' perseverance to death, that he went all the way. And one of the things that I think is so powerful is that as we behold realities in him, they're imparted to us. And I just began to, you know, I just began to see that even the intimacy, but I believe a tenderizing, the weeping God is imparting the gift of tears to his people in this hour.
Yes, yes.
The weeping God is tenderizing his people. I feel like 2020 exposed a lot of harshness and just jadedness and just rigidity. And I feel like the Lord's wanting to bring a great tenderizing to our hearts. And I feel like the tears are bringing us back in touch with our hearts and helping us get there. It's God's gift to us. And so, yeah, I feel like across the board, we're going to start see a great weeping and tenderizing take place. And that flows really with the intimacy reality, because it's not about trying harder. It's about beholding truths in him that are imparted to us. So as I've beheld the fact that Jesus wept, and that the God who knew what he was going to do from the beginning of Lazarus's storyline, he still got into the valley with his friends and he felt with them. As I behold him in that place, it imparts to me the gift of tears.
Yeah.
And so all of that stuff, tears, intimacy, tenderizing, it's coming. And I feel like these are just hot topics that we need to be getting us. We need each other. We need the spirit of revelation, and we need help in growing in intimacy in this hour.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes we've, you know, in Song of Solomon, there's this transition that happens in this, in the maiden, right? Like the first four chapters, she's in it for what she can get from him.
Yes.
And then the second four chapters, it's this transition that takes place at verse 16, chapter 4, where all of a sudden she realizes this is not about what I can get from him.
Yes.
It's what he can get in me, what
yes.
the inheritance he has in me. And so often we've thought about Jesus as a way to get our desires, to get our needs, to get the things that we want. And the whole thrust of the New Testament is about God bringing forth his glory in the earth.
I'm picking my daughter up from school, so hey, this is real life.
All right, man, it's real. But it's about Jesus getting his inheritance in us. And there's a transition that has to take place in the church, where we're not looking at Jesus as our answer, sort of the magic wand to wave to get what we want. But yeah. It's about him getting his glory in the church. And it's, you know, Paul said, to him be glory in the church.
Yes.
And I'm reading, man, Samuel Whitfield's book, dude, Discipleship Begins with Beholding.
Yes.
Have you seen this book?
I'm trying to keep up from the other six books he's written. I mean,
the Discipleship Begins with Beholding book. He says our modern version of Christianity, where we're using Jesus to get our needs met, it's closer to witchcraft than it is to the kingdom of God.
I think you're in the wrong line. Do you have a younger sibling?
Hold on 1 second. No. I come here every day, 358.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. I don't know where he is.
It's a girl.
Everybody pray for Corey. Oh, he's trying to pick up his children.
Oh, we had the wrong name.
They messed up my thing here.
That's okay. Well, we bless them. It's okay.
Yeah.
But he literally says the way that we've positioned ourselves in Christianity, it's closer to witchcraft, using Jesus as a spell to get what we want done, than it is to the progress of the kingdom where God gets his glory in the earth. The book is called Discipleship Begins with Beholding by Samuel Whitfield. It is powerful.
He's just dropping bombs, man.
Bombs.
Like, every book. I mean, I'm reading his Habakkuk book. I'm reading his Israel books. I'm just his Daniel, Son of Man books. I mean.
Yeah, I see that. Dang. That's how I felt when I read it today. Yeah.
So, I actually have that in my inbox.
It's powerful.
So I think the Lord's flipping the script on us. And I feel the same thing, Billy, as far as the maturing. I spoke this weekend at Upper Room on the mystery of Israel and the church and that reality of the fullness of the Gentiles until all Israel is saved. And just, I think I just begin to go down the issues of fullness of maturity, fullness of number. And the fact that, you know, that Ephesians 1 prayer says that you would, one, know the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that we would know what is Jesus's inheritance on the inside of me.
Yes.
And I'm his gift. And what is he going to get from my life? And I think that's what intimacy, and that's what was hitting me today, is I think so many times, and that's what I was kind of doing in leading our prayer meeting today, is I was like, I love just singing about things that Jesus did. Like, even here we are, Holy Week, Passion Week. I'll never get over meditating on what he did. But what's also touching me is how it changes the way I live. Yeah. And his perseverance produces perseverance in me to go all the way through and to love again, serve again, give again.
Yes.
And not only just, anyways, I'm just the power of beholding and becoming. And that's why I have no doubts that Samuel's book is based out of 2 Corinthians 3:18.
That's it. Yeah.
And so that beholding, becoming principle is absolutely critical for the church in this hour. And this is how we're transformed, and this is how we disciple others. But we need a prayer wineskin to be able to put people before him.
I think the days of thinking of prayer as simply a means to get God's, you know, get God to do something for us, those days are evaporating.
Yes.
And what we're realizing in the church is going to have to realize is that prayer is, it's our life. I like to say prayer is air.
Huh.
If you don't minister to him, if you don't flow in relationship with him, you don't flow in love with him, you will die. Prayer is not a magic wand that we wave to try to get Jesus, our Santa Claus, to give us the present. Prayer is the way that we engage his heart, and we know his thoughts, his feelings, his emotions, his desires, and his ends, and that we actually get into those thoughts, feelings, and emotions with him. And I love the thing that you've been saying about how Jeremiah, he wasn't the weeping prophet. He was a prophet who found, he held hands with the weeping God.
Yes.
He found the emotions of God, and he engaged in those emotions in his intercessions. And we're going to be a bride that's comparable to Jesus. We're going to be a bride that's conformed to him as his image, and that cares about the things that he cares about, that loves what he loves, that hates what he hates, and that's not looking at Jesus as a means to get what we desire.
Jesus. Because the first part of Song of Solomon is what she gets from him. The second part is what he gets from her. Mm. And I think that's where he's bringing us in this hour. So for all you guys who are jumping on here, we're talking about, one, we're in a divine season. We've got, you know, a lot of fasting going on. I think the next several months
are
just marked by many people in a spirit of fasting, because I think we're in a, I don't say this in every season, I think we're in a global push. I think we're in a push.
Yes.
Now, a travail. There's something happening. The thinning of the veil, a shifting. I think it's probably so many dimensions to it, but I think with that, though, is just some of the things we're experiencing, the tears, the travail, but this intimacy.
Intimacy isn't about just getting a good feeling. It's about being so linked, so engaged with him that we recognize we are his, that we've been bought by him. We've been bought by him, that we're owned by him, that our greatest desire, our greatest glory is to see his glory manifest. It's about a love that lays itself down. It's a love that pours itself out. And knowing that love, knowing his love, it creates a longing and a depth inside of you that honestly, that longing and that aching is what sees you through every other challenge in life. I love what you said in our class last night, Corey, just when you've experienced the pain of deep longing for Jesus, you can literally make it through every other challenge in life, other suffering, every other difficulty, every other, you know, trial. When that pang of longing gets so ripe on the inside, it's the one that carries you through no matter what the difficulty is of any season. We're talking about intimacy at that level.
See, this is the thing, Billy, the Romans 8:37. What, and again, I've been just preaching on what Paul's doing to the Roman church to connect them to his groan for Israel. And he takes Romans 8. He goes, I have been persuaded that neither death nor life, powers, principles, nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ. And then he rolls. Most of us stop there and we build a Jesus loves you. No, it's about freeing us from self-preservation.
Yes.
It's about freeing us from myopic, narcissistic. It's all about me. And it frees you because you can't be separated from the love of God. And Paul takes them right into, I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ, for my countrymen, my brethren. And I think that's where we're going, is this whole, this great revelation of the love of God, that I cannot be separated from it.
Yes. I love that, man. I think that's it, that God right now, he is delivering the church from self-preservation, from self-preference, from thinking that we are the center. He's delivering yes. us from that in our personal lives, in our family, in our corporate gatherings. He's repossessing the church with his presence. He's ordering the church around the man Christ Jesus. He will have a bride that is fully his, that is no longer looking at other lovers, that's no longer looking at other distractions. We're going to get so enthralled with the beauty and the love of Jesus that every other distraction is going to, it's going to fade in our eyes, because we're going to get so overwhelmed with the beautiful God. You know what we've been trying to do? We've been trying to call a world that's fascinated with every other thing there is, every other lust. We've been trying to call them into a relationship with Jesus. All the while, we've been kind of ho-hum about who Jesus is.
Yes.
The church is about to get a vision of his beauty, about to get so engaged in the knowledge of him, so enthralled with his love, so burning in bright righteousness and the love of God, that the church is going to call the world into a beauty that surpasses, infinitely surpasses every other attraction. This is the intimacy we're talking about. We're not talking about a message that makes you feel nice. I mean, it'll make you feel good. It will invigorate you. It'll enthrall you. It'll fill you with pleasure. But when we haven't seen the beauty of Jesus and we try to call a world that's possessed with lust for every other thing into the knowledge of him, and we're ourselves, we're bored. We have got to get so lit with the love of God that we are absolutely contagious. And this is what God's doing. This is what God is doing to us right now. He's tenderizing us. He's breaking us. He's shown us last year that all the other things that promise answers don't have answers, that he alone satisfies. Anyway, we're going to be going into all of this.
He goes, I have been persuaded. And then and I think that's part of it. That's where intimacy begins. He persuades our unbelieving heart. He drives out fear of rejection. Fear, and he touches us in his tenderness and his love. But what happens as you soak and you grow in that love is it frees you. Is it frees you from all that you're getting and yourself, and you get delivered so you can start living through his lens for a lost and dying world. And I think, and then Paul takes us right in. He goes, I tell you the truth. I'm not lying. My conscience bearing me witness. He goes, I've been persuaded. And that's why I move with Jesus for the heart of his beloved. And so we're growing up. We're growing up in this season. And I think, so all you guys who are on here, we're talking about our third season of GRIP. We got a prophetic word from Brian Guerin that it's going to be about intimacy. We did the first season on revival, which for you guys on there, me and Billy are writing a book based on that first season called Reclaiming Revival. It'll be released probably by the end of this year. We did the second season on the knowledge of God. And this third season, which we'll record in May and we'll release it in June, is about intimacy. And this is where I want to go, Billy, in this course, in this podcast, is getting washed in the Father's love, washed in the bridegroom, washed in the Spirit's fellowship, unto liberating us.
Yes. Setting us free from the opinions of men, setting us free from self-preservation. This is ultimately where it's going, right? Revelation 12:10. They overcome Satan by not loving their lives unto the death.
Yes.
So the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, not loving their lives unto the death. Here's what I want to tell you guys. There is a love that's going to possess the church that's going to be greater than every other love, to the extent where the bride gladly, joyfully lays her life down for her bridegroom. It's not going to seem like a drudge. It's not going to seem like a stretch or a bondage. We are not going to love our lives unto the death because we're so overwhelmed with the love of the bridegroom, Jesus. That's where this is going. The mature bride, possessed with love, completely freed from the opinions of man, completely freed from every distraction, every other attraction of the world, and so invigorated in love that she willingly lays herself down for the bridegroom God. This is where it's going in the earth, beloved.
Yes. I can't say yes enough. I just want to punch through a wall. I want to leap over. I'm just telling you. Love of God, love of the Father, love of the Son, love of the Spirit, fellowship with God. We were made by God and we were made for God. And you will only be satisfied in God. And as you find your source in Him, it liberates you, friend. And then Ephesians 3.
The greatest gift of this life is confidence.
We'll get into that in Ephesians 3, that you would be filled with the fullness of God. So, hey guys, we're giving you.
I love that song.
What?
I was thinking about that song, Oh, Love of God, So Rich and Pure. And it talks about, you know, if the whole ocean were ink and every tree was a quill and the whole sky was parchment made, you could write forever and drain the ocean of the love of God. Bro, when we get together and talk for 10 episodes straight about the knowledge of the love of God, we are going to be so undone. We're all going to get saved after that one.
For God so loved.
Look, I don't know where you're going to church this weekend, but wherever you go to church this weekend, I want you to drink in this revelation that Jesus Christ, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and just drink this point in. You were the joy set before him. The entire impetus of the cross was the love of God found in Christ Jesus. And it's that very love that held him to the cross. And it was you. You're the target of that. You were the deep desire of him that held him to the cross. That is the glory of God.
Well, I'm wrecked. Anybody got any questions or what are you guys thinking? What are you guys feeling on here?
Throw some questions at us or any thoughts you have, and we'll take a few moments and answer those things, and then we'll pray and
so
we'll call it a day.
Yeah, we just finished an abiding course last night that we've been doing. John 15, something I loved you said in John 15, even about that abiding. We relegated Christianity to quiet times. And the Bible never calls us to quiet times, but to abide.
Yes. Yes.
He says, abide in my love.
Yes, that's it.
Anyway.
That's where we're supposed to live.
So we got season 3 coming out in June. We got a book called Reclaiming Revival that we're going to release at the end of the year. We're doing these online courses. I just want you guys to lean in. I want to invite everybody that's on this. We got Gift of Tears coming out. I want to encourage you guys, lean in with some fasting in this season.
Yes.
I would just say, you know, some of you, you're like, you know, I got a full-time job and a ton like this. Just skip a lunch and just begin to put a bullseye on your heart for fresh tenderizing. Because I think we're in a special season and the Lord will take your weak reachings and he will blow your mind.
So the online course that Corey just referenced, you can find it on CoreyRussell.com.
Oh, CoreyRussellOnline.com.
Sorry, it's CoreyRussellOnline.com. There's hundreds and hundreds of videos there. And so Corey has taught so many things. There's other teachers. My Abiding course is there. And then Corey and I just did 4 live sessions that go with the Abiding course. Yes. And the Lord was hitting us with bombs through the entire course. And we're just literally weeping and weeping in these online courses. So you can get that in CoreyRussellOnline.com.
And then we're going to be at the Movement together here in a few weeks.
That's right.
2021. Anybody got any questions or anything? What's the Lord speaking to you guys? What are y'all feeling? I love Ruth Cropper. You're amazing.
So many friends on this call. I saw so many different names. We love you guys so much. Pray for Corey and I. We just continue to follow what God is asking of us in this season. We just want to be obedient. It's not about producing more ministry. It's about being obedient.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of travail? Tell what the purpose of travail is, Corey.
What's the purpose of, it's in the same way, it's about giving birth to the purposes of God. In the same way a natural child is born, so spiritual things are born. And in the same way that a woman, the closest thing is I've set by 4 births, and I've seen those contractions come unto the birth of our children. So I believe, and this is another thing that we'll hit on, but intimacy unto travail. And that intimacy, as you get filled with the longings of his heart, it becomes in you a travail unto birthing his purposes in the earth. And so it's an agonizing prayer. I really believe ugly praying is coming to the church. I do. It's not going to be the polished, articulate. Man, he said he prayed that right. It's going to be, I think, a lot of mascara flowing. I think a lot of loud groans and travails, but it's not just for loud prayer meeting's sake. I think it's about birthing things into reality. It's about birthing those things which have been hidden into manifestation. And I think there's an apostolic travail. Paul says, my little children, Galatians 4, in whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. And I think we're seeing an apostolic travail released in this hour for the birthing of the purposes of God.
Yes. Somebody just asked, how do you push past the ceiling in prayer? I'll tell you something. I just had a young guy that is very prophetic give me a dream recently, because I've been in those places of prayer where it's like I can't pray anymore fervently. My body is failing. And I had this young guy give me this dream. And in the dream, he said he saw me. I was pushing on a door. Mm. And there was a slight tweak that needed to take place. Instead of pushing, I just needed to pull. And he said in the dream, the door that I'd been believing God to open, it just came open with a pull. And so often we get focused on crying. I mean, Corey and I are both yellers. You just press and it. When in doubt, find the accelerator. That's kind of how we go. But I know the Lord was instructing me that it's about drawing on Holy Spirit, drawing on the glory within me, drawing on that river of living water that's on the inside of me, and asking God to give me the escort in a way that I could never muster in my own strength, and saying, Holy Spirit, pray through me the very things that are on your heart. Holy Spirit, I take your hand, lead me, and drawing, pulling on Holy Spirit and asking him to lead us into those places of prayer, lead us into those places of travail. You know what? I cannot muster up tears on my own. I just can't. I can't make myself cry. But man, when Holy Spirit, when he on the inside of me, when he begins to pull me into those places of the divine emotions, the places of the heartbeats of God, the divine perspective of the sin of the earth, of the state of the church, all of a sudden my eyes begin to flow like water. And it's the Holy Spirit escort. I'd say that's the key to getting past those ceilings in the place of prayer.
Joy asks, how do you die to self to allow the Holy Spirit to take over? You let him love you to death.
Yes.
get persuaded. I'm convinced that our level of self-preservation is directly related to our lack of persuasion of the love of God for us.
Yes, yes.
The more secure you are in love, the more free you are to love.
For sure. I find this, that when we see him as beautiful, when we see him as pleasure filled, then we actually die to the pursuit for other things, even the pursuit of our own preservation. When we actually see him, I remember years and years ago, I made this my constant prayer. Jesus, let me see you as beautiful. Open my eyes to see your beauty.
Yes,
I've filled my mind with other things and it's clouded my vision. Let me see you as beautiful. I would encourage you, pray that prayer until you realize that you see him as the most beautiful one, that you become so enamored with him, that he's the one that you want. And then everything else, the other attractions, they lose their luster. Well, guys, listen, we love you. We're so blessed by how the Lord's moving right now. And we just know that there's an entire generation of people that are on the same, they're on the same wavelength, on the same journey. And we, Corey and I both feel this, that one of our callings right now is to raise up 100 million completely sold out, on fire intercessors who will cry out until heaven comes to earth, cry out for a break-in of revival, cry out until the Lord returns, that there's a wave of intercessors that are going to cover the nations of the earth. The Isaiah 62, 6 and 7, set watchmen are arising right now. And so many of you are those people. And we just love the fact that God's right now causing the hungry to come forth. And so the Nasherites, I saw somebody put that in there. That's right, the Nasherites. Those that are like Father Nash of old, with a Nazarite spirit crying out for the glory of God to be released. So we just love you. We're excited to continue to just serve what God's doing in this hour. Pray for us that we would keep our hearts clean and we would serve the purposes of the Lord. And I just feel the Lord resting. Corey, would you just pray? Like, let's just pray for everybody on this live. I feel like the Lord even wants to touch people right now where they're at.
Fill of Jesus, fill them. God, I pray right now for every person. Put your hand on everyone's hearts and release a great tenderizing. God, pour the love of God into hearts by the Holy Spirit. Pour the love of God into hearts. Break the power of fear. Break the power of lies and accusation. Break the power. Release a great tenderizing to your people, God. Release it, I pray, Father. Stir up the spirit of prayer. Stir up the spirit of prophecy. Release the explosion of the love of God on the inside of us.
Yes,
mark
yes,
us, I pray.
Yes.
Father, I pray, here we are, as weak as we all are. Take us into this season, Jesus. We want to be a part of what you're doing. Take us into this season. Mark every person on this call, I pray.
In the name of Jesus Christ, be filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray for gripping, radical gripping. I pray for the spirit of grace and supplication right now. How? Let it rest on people in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you, God, grip their hearts, the revelation of the beauty of Jesus. They'd be so enthralled with who you are, Jesus. They wouldn't want anything else but you, God. Grip the hearts of your bride right now. Fill them with fire. Lord, we love you. We give you thanks. Bless every person in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.